1, 2, 3.
You're listening to Sports Talk Chicago with your host, John Zagluhl.
John, I am fantastic. Thank you for having me. You got an awesome voice, man, and that was a terrific intro. You're like a pro's pro.
You know, that was the first time somebody ever said that, John. No, you're the first person to ever say anything like that. That's very interesting.
You got it, John. Anything for a fellow Chicago guy.
Well, what a great question.
That's a great question. Nobody's actually asked me that.
I like it. What a great question. I never heard that before.
Chase Utley is what? You're saying he's not a Hall of Fame candidate?
You know, it's funny. You may be the only person that I've heard make that connection.
Thank you, John, for having me. I'm doing great. By the way, you have an outstanding voice. Not sure about your face because I haven't met you, but your voice is great.
You're doing a much better job than I ever did. You've had some heavy hitters guests on too, man, so keep up the good work. But it's good to be with you, and I'm ready to talk sports.
Hello, everybody, and welcome into Sports Talk Chicago. My name's John Zagluhl. Great to have you here. On today's edition of the program, I agree with Matt Nagy. I'll explain why in just a moment. Plus, a brand new interview today with Dave Richard, a fantasy football analyst and writer for CBS Sports. We talk with him more about the Bears quarterback competition, what to expect fantasy football-wise for this upcoming season, and so much more. It's a great interview, and it comes your way near the midway point of this show. Remember, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at John Z Sports and on Facebook at John Zagluhl. And if you want to listen to this show at any time in podcast form, search up Sports Talk Chicago on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, and SportsTalkChicago.com. Before we start today, I have to tell you about State Farm agent Brian McDevitt. A lot of our listeners have gone to him for all their insurance needs, and he's been very helpful in getting them the coverage they deserve. There's no games with Brian. He's just here to help and make sure you feel safe. So if you have insurance needs and you haven't called him yet, what are you waiting for? Dial up that number, 630-796-2662. That's 630-796-2662. Or visit his website, brianismyagent.com. That's RyanIsMyAgent.com, and make sure to mention Sports Talk Chicago. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. I want to start today with this. As you may know from past episodes of this program, Matt Nagy and I don't always see eye to eye. That'd be an understatement, really. We never agreed on the way to treat Mitch Trubisky, on the way to treat this whole quarterback competition from last year. We didn't agree on the run game. Matt Nagy was not a guy who prioritized running the football. Took him till midway last season to realize, oh, maybe I should do it. I didn't like his coaching style. Too stubborn. Found it hard to admit he was wrong. Hell, he lied to all of us about play calling. Remember? Remember when he said, I'm giving up play calling, then at the end of the year, actually, I did it. Should have been more of a story, and it wasn't. Guaranteed, if that happened under John Fox, Mark Trestman, Lovie Smith, there would have been a bigger deal made about that lie. Nevertheless, despite all these mistakes and all these issues I've had with Matt Nagy, for once, he's made a good decision. And I know it's shocking for me to say that. Really shocking. I mean, I'm eating my words here, really. The fact that he's actually doing something that benefits this team isn't selfish and isn't resulting in sabotage, but he is. I don't know what the motivation is. My guess is keeping his job. But so far, it's working. Matt Nagy came out couple of days ago now, talked to Chris Collinsworth about the quarterback competition, said, quote, Andy is our starter, and again, I can't predict anything. You know how it goes. There's so many things that could happen between today and week one, but Andy is our starter, and Justin is our number two, and we're going to stick with that plan. You always hope that nothing happens to Andy as far as injuries or anything like that, and that's why I can't say 100%. Andy is where we want him to be. He's at a great OTA. And we're just going to continue to build with them. Wow. Wow. I'm shocked. I'm shocked that nothing's changed. Not yet. Now, between June and September, something could. I could see that quote becoming the complete opposite in about 50 days. But right now, to his credit, Matt Nagy is staying firm. Certainly didn't expect that. I was waiting for the day in which he'd say Fields will start game one. Just to make myself crystal clear to everybody watching. I want Fields to play this year. Really, I do. Not week one against the Rams, primetime, in LA on NBC. No. Nope. Not going to work. Week four, they face the Lions. Perfect time to put him in the game. But he has to succeed in those big moments. He can by learning. I didn't see Pat Mahomes play all year in 2017. No. He played the last game. It was meaningless. Didn't do that good. Then turned around the next year and won the MVP. You can't be desperate as fans. Everybody is clamoring. Fans, even some writers, are clamoring for Fields to come in, but experts are saying otherwise. Matt Nagy, quote-unquote, has a plan. Well, why not listen to it? Why not give him a chance? Yes, he's made mistakes in the past, the ones I just outlined for you a few minutes ago. This is different, though. This is his quarterback, and his job is on the line here. Motivation. He was given a second chance. Ownership probably told him, well, here's your quarterback, Matt. If you screw up this time, you're done. There is motivation to get this right. There's an incentive to get this right. Should he have gotten it right before? Yes, but it's over. Let's move on. It's his own quarterback, and he's been given another chance to save his job. I'm going to trust him here for now. Could that change? Yes. Like he said, anything could change. But right now, I feel like it's not a bad idea to trust this plan. Saw an article today saying Andy Dalton threw a great deep ball at OTAs. Look, you could say what you want about Andy Dalton. He is the perfect bridge quarterback. Not going to win you a playoff game. Not going to even get you to the playoffs. But if you're trying to develop Fields, get him used to the NFL, have him learn the ins and outs of the system, have him polish himself up to be ready for the pace of play at the NFL, that's the perfect guy to have in front of him. Veteran, established, been around a long time, Pro Bowler, playoff appearances. Let him play. And if I were Matt Nagy, that's the way I would do this. Think about it this way. Last year for the Chargers, they began with Tyrod Taylor. After a week, Herbert came in. Now, the Chargers didn't do well. Didn't make the playoffs. Anthony Lynn on the hot seat. But they have their franchise quarterback. They didn't rush him. He came in because of an injury. Did well. Better than anybody expected. Now look. They have a franchise guy. Fan base is happy. This upcoming season, they better be a playoff team. Simple as that. The Bears have the opportunity to do something similar here. You wait. Let Andy Dalton play the majority of the games, half the games. Have Fields play. Have this team go 7-10, 6-11. Who cares? The year after, though, you know Fields is your guy. You're expecting big things out of him. He'll start game one, and the season should go well. Playoff well. Super Bowl well. That type of caliber. This really isn't hard. It's not difficult, complicated rocket science. It isn't. The people who are making it complicated are the fans who are clamoring and media who are clamoring for Fields to be rushed in. For those who say, you can't coddle him. Those are the types of people who don't want this to work, realistically. Some of you have said, I don't want this to work. No, no, no. That's not true. The people who want him to come in week one and essentially just risk everything, those are the people who don't want it to work. Those are the people being selfish and asking for instant gratification when we all know what the right thing to do is. Again, this is not complicated. It's being made complicated by people who don't have the Bears' best interests in mind. Every expert, every coach knows what the right move is. If we hear media and fans say something completely different. If you truly love the Bears, if you truly believe in Justin Fields, you'd wait to play him. It's really that simple. You're being selfish. You want instant gratification when there's no need for it. Before Fields was picked, everybody was convinced this will be a throwaway year. Why have those expectations changed when Fields needs time to develop? You drafted a talented quarterback. You didn't go out and sign Tom Brady. If they signed Tom Brady, I'd say yes. 11-5, 11-6, have to make the playoffs. No, not now, though. This is a rookie. I know he's talented. Let him develop. Put him in week 4, week 5. Let him play out the season. And if I were the Bears, I wouldn't even be worrying about wins and losses here. That is not the point of this season. The point of this season is, do we have our franchise quarterback? Have we developed him correctly? Is he confident? Is he ready next year to be the number one guy to lead us to a playoff appearance? That's the goal for this upcoming season. If anybody tells you otherwise, if anybody says Fields starts game 1, have to make the playoffs, everybody's on the line, they're wrong and they're fooling you. The true goal of 2021 is development. Retooling, as they say in baseball. That's what it is. You need to evaluate your team. Everybody, not just Fields. Because come next year when Fields is the starter, you have to surround him with the right guys. This is a big year for Allen Robinson, Darnell Mooney, Justin Fields, David Montgomery, the defense, offensive line. This is the year in which you see who's good, who's bad, who should be here, who shouldn't. It's a year of development, not a year of rushing timelines, instant gratification, and screwing up everything, even though you made some sensible moves. Not the time to do that. Really not the time. I know everybody wants Justin Fields. But if you wait till week 4, week 8, week 12, you play him, you let him get used to the flow of the game. The year after, he'll be ready. Goodbye, Andy Dalton. And the team will be ready for a legitimate playoff appearance. You all have to expect and accept an okay season. The problem is everybody's expecting now playoffs and Super Bowl right away. It doesn't work that way. If you really cared about Fields, if you really cared about this team and their long-term success, you'd know what the answer is as to week 1, week 2, week 3. So when people tell me you're hating on Fields, you don't like the Bears, you don't have their best interests in mind, no, I do. You don't. This is selfless, not selfish. By sitting him, he develops. No rush. There is no rush. Pace and Nagy aren't going anywhere, and we all know that now. They've at least been given 2-year extensions, maybe 3. They're in no rush. Their jobs are on the line. Justin Fields and his career is on the line here. Let's do this sensibly. So when Matt Nagy comes out and says, there is no way Fields starts game 1, that should be applauded, not torn down. I have not always seen eye to eye with Matt Nagy. But I do appreciate his effort at finally trying to do something correctly. Finally. It's taken 4 or 5 years, but finally, he understands what he needs to do. You will all regret it if Fields is rushed. Believe me, you will. And I know you say, well, he has the talent to overcome everything. Sure he does. It still doesn't mean you throw him to the fire. What's the big issue in waiting, developing him, having him get used to the offense, used to the team, used to the pace of playing the NFL, then putting him in. Why does it have to be week one when he may not be ready? Or even if he is ready, why does it have to be right away? The Bears aren't going to go anywhere this year. Probably a 500 team. That's what Vegas says. I believe that too. Probably 8-9, 9-8, maybe 10-7. Great. That's how it should be. They aren't here contending for a Super Bowl. Not yet. Maybe next year, year after. Not right now. So we have to think about that, and we can't be acting like just because Fields was drafted, it's time to think Super Bowl today. No. You have to be sensible. It does not behoove anybody. It doesn't help anybody to have Fields be playing that early. You might think it does, and that's great. But long term for the Bears' future, no, it doesn't. It really doesn't. You're the one who doesn't believe in him. Not me. I do believe in him. I believe he could be the next quarterback for 15 years. If you break him too early, though, guess what? Won't work. So when I continuously see people, media, fans, say, put him in week one, if you don't support him going in week one, you're a hater and you think he's a bust. Never said that. The truth of the matter is, if you wait, he'll be better long term. We all want instant gratification. We want it now. We can't wait. But patience is a virtue. If you wait for him till week four, week five, if you coddle him, put him in baby steps, it'll be better off for everybody. I've said this before in the program, quarterbacks are a big deal now. They make or break what you do. This isn't 2003. We won't see a Super Bowl with Trent Dilfer and Rich Gannon. You need to have a superstar quarterback if you want to go anywhere. So when you invest in a draft pick, when you move up to get somebody, there's no incentive to rush him, to hurt him, to break him. The Bears already screwed up with Mitch Trubisky. Why do it again to Justin Fields? I know he's more talented, but the psychological aspect, the adjustment to this game, still apparent. You don't want to rush him. And you don't have to. Again, the luxury of Andy Dalton and Nick Foles. I would really sit him and give Fields a chance to learn behind these two guys. Really give them that opportunity. I think it'd be great. I know everybody's in an uproar. I know everybody wants the one big thing and wants it now. But trust me, if you wait, you'll be happy. If you wait, if you trust this process, you'll be happy. There is no need to put him in when you have Andy Dalton. The star, at least. Andy Dalton is not horrible. He could play for you for a couple of games, maybe play 500 football, then you put in Fields. I never understood, I still don't understand the concept of throwing him to the wolves week one. And those of you who say it's to make him grow, he has to succeed, he's done it before, you don't understand that the NFL is really a different animal. I don't think you do. You think because he played in the Big Ten, it just automatically means he's going to do great here. He'll transition super well to the NFL. Not the case. Come on. How many quarterbacks have we seen not make the transition but go to big schools and do big things? Ryan Leaf, Matt Leinart, Jamarcus Russell, Sam Darnold, Josh Rosen, Tua. It's not worth it. Let him develop. Nurture him. Teach him to become a great quarterback. And if you do that, I guarantee you, he'll do well. But if you rush him, if you put undue pressure on him when he doesn't even need it, nor should experience it, that's where your problem's going to lie. I know he's mentally tough. But the fact of the matter is, you don't have to play him yet. You don't have to. You may want to, but you don't have to. It's not a necessity. The Bears are not the New York Jets. The Jets are going to throw Zach Wilson out there week one to the Wolves with no weapons, no offensive line, and what do you think is going to happen? Won't work. He'll be broken right away and be done. I'm not saying the Bears don't have any talent, but just why do it? What's the incentive to putting Fields in week one? I mean, the possible upside would be a playoff appearance. But why do you need a playoff appearance right now versus the year after when Fields is more developed, more ready, no quarterback competition, better team? Then you could shoot for Super Bowl, not just playoffs. Like a stock, same idea. When you invest in a mutual fund, you do it for the sake of being ready for retirement. You do it so you know in 30 years, I'll be fine. It's the same idea here. Putting in Fields week one could be instant gratification, like investing in Bitcoin. Bitcoin was high, now it dropped. Versus waiting, it's investing in a mutual fund. You know over time, you're going to be fine. Don't need to worry about it. So I hope the Bears play this correctly. It seems like they will. My real hope is that fans and media alike can accept this. If you want the best for the Chicago Bears, if you're a fan and you really, truly care about this team, then you know what the answer is when it comes to who starts week one. You may not want to admit it. You may not like it. It may not serve your instant gratification. But trust me when I say that if you wait, you'll be better off. More to come. Here on Sports Talk Chicago, my interview with Dave Richard comes up next. So stay tuned. Sports Talk Chicago. Here with John Zaglul, and we are back and ready for today's special guest. He's a senior fantasy football writer at CBS Sports and a contributor to Fantasy Football Today. Please welcome Dave Richard to the program. Dave, it's great to have you on. How are you?
Oh, John, greetings from South Florida. It's an overcast, like 90-degree day. I'm sitting outside on my patio, which has been my office for the last year. And it's great to hear your voice, and it's great to talk about Chicago and the Bears and the fantasy season. Listen, man, you've got to get ready for your draft. You're probably going to be drafting your fantasy team sometime in the next 70 days. So it's time to prepare and get ready to kick your friends' butts in their league again.
Well, who's your top fantasy pick at each position this year to start? What should I be doing to win my fantasy league?
Well, what you should be doing to win your fantasy league and who the top pick is at each position are very different things. I think that they're very different answers. I think you could probably guess who the best picks are at each position, the top guy at each position. But here's a hint. Most of them are Kansas City Chiefs, and it's because that's an offense that's very explosive, and it's a lot of points that are scored. Mahomes is unbelievable as a quarterback. He's got the most upside of any quarterback, and that's saying something because there are a lot of quarterbacks that can give you, you know, you're looking for like 25 points per week in a league where it's 6 points for a passing touchdown, probably closer to 20 or 21 if it's 4 points for a passing touchdown. And Mahomes is that dude. Travis Kelce, John, has been the number one tight end in PPR leagues 5 straight years.
Wow.
Do you need me to say anything else about why he's the top tight end? Do you really want me to go on for another 30 seconds? Because I won't. Wide receiver, I'll go running back next. Christian McCaffrey played only 3 games last year. Guess what? He's still the guy that everybody's going to take first. He's been incredibly consistent at delivering monster fantasy numbers. In a PPR league, you're looking for at minimum 15 points per week. He's giving you that in 30 of his past 35 games. That's an 86% hit rate. Now, I used to be pretty good when I got an 86% on like a test in school when I went to Rich Central in the southern suburbs. In fantasy football, 86%, that's like getting 120% on a test. So it's outstanding. Really no question that Christian McCaffrey is the top pick at running back. But wide receiver's a little bit different for me, John. And I think it's contingent on who the quarterback is for the Green Bay Packers. If Aaron Rodgers is the quarterback, Devonta Adams is my favorite receiver, but only in leagues where catches count. If catches do not count, you only get credit for yards and touchdowns, then I'll go with Patrick Mahomes' best receiver, Tyreek Hill. And if Aaron Rodgers is traded, which I'm sure that everybody in Chicagoland is hoping for at this point, then Tyreek Hill would take that spot as the number one receiver in fantasy, regardless of format. Now, what to do in order to win your leagues? Here's the pointer that I'm going to give you first and foremost is take a look at rankings before you draft. And this is a pre-draft exercise. You can look at my rankings or whoever's rankings you like, or if you're really into it, John, your own rankings. You're going to need to create a dividing line for where the running backs are that you're not comfortable taking as a starter for your team. So, for example, everybody will take Christian McCaffrey to be their starter. That's no problem. Ezekiel Elliott, most people will take him. You get to David Montgomery or Miles Sanders, and some people might get a little squeamish at that. Or they'll get to Travis Etienne or Leonard Fournette or Raheem Mostert, and you might say, all right, no, those guys are not starters for my fantasy team. The fewer running backs that you have that you would consider starters for your team, the more likely you need to attack that position in your draft immediately. Don't even bother with Travis Kelce or Tyreek Hill or Devonta Adams. Go after running backs with your first two or three picks. But that depends on just how many running backs you like and are comfortable starting. That's the very first thing that everybody has to do before they get into their draft to help them be in a position where they feel comfortable with their team when they're done drafting.
Where would you take a quarterback? I've heard fields of thought that the last round is the best. I've heard people say first or second round. Where would you take a quarterback?
I would take a quarterback and this is just me not necessarily answering your question directly because there's some context to it. I'm looking for a fair value, if not a good value, at quarterback. And now maybe a year or two ago, John, I would have told you, you want to steal your quarterback. You want to draft your quarterback at a spot where you can't believe that he's still there. And the eyes are popping out of your head, and it just feels like you're ripping off the rest of your league. I don't think you can do that anymore. I think that we're at a point now where there are a certain amount of quarterbacks that have great upside, and then a bunch of quarterbacks that have good upside, and then other quarterbacks that have good upside, but you don't feel quite as good about them. And I can explain. Looking at my own quarterback rankings, I've got Mahomes, Josh Allen, Kyler Murray, Lamar Jackson, Dak Prescott. Five quarterbacks. I think they're all worth taking somewhere between rounds 3 and 6. Okay. And if I can get any one of them, in that spot, I'm thrilled. I'll take them. I'm not interested in taking Mahomes in round 1 or round 2. And this is assuming that I can only start one quarterback. There are some leagues where you can start multiple quarterbacks. In those leagues, you're going to take quarterbacks early. There's just nothing you can do about it. But I'm looking for a good value from one of those great quarterbacks. If I can find one, and usually when I draft with a bunch of other fantasy nerds, they're waiting on quarterbacks, I'm taking advantage. I'm getting Josh Allen in round 5. I'm getting Dak in round 6. Okay, and I'm very comfortable taking Dak. I think he'll be right back to where he was pre-injury. And if I don't get one of them, I'm not going to cry over it. I'm just going to wait until I can get somebody like Justin Herbert in round 7, Russell Wilson in round 7 or 8, Aaron Rodgers and Jalen Hurts in rounds 8 or 9. And then once I'm past that group of quarterbacks, I look at who's left and it's, oh, darn, it's Tom Brady. Oh, shucks, it's Ryan Tannehill, who now has Julio Jones to throw to. Oh, diddly-dee, it's Joe Burrow, who's got tons of upside. But you kind of get where I'm coming from. Those quarterbacks don't run very much. Tannehill will, Burrow a little. They don't run a lot, which is what gives the value to Lamar Jackson and Kyler Murray and Josh Allen and Dak Prescott. But they throw really well, and they've got some great receivers to throw to, and I can still get them in round 9, 10, 11, 12. Look at me. It's that rich central education showing you that I can still count. But the point is that I can still wait. I can wait to get quarterbacks and feel good about starting Tom Brady in week 1, Ryan Tannehill in week 1. Tannehill's got a great schedule to begin the year, by the way. He'll be a top 5 quarterback in September. I'm not sure if he'll be a top 5 quarterback by the time we get to December, but he'll get you off to a hot start. But I'm looking for value, John. I want a quarterback that I can find that can help me build my roster at other positions and still feel really good about the value in which I get that quarterback. And if I could add one other thing,
sure.
There are a few quarterbacks that carry, I told you, like they've got really good upside, but their downside is pretty significant too. And I'll give you their names. There's three of them, and I'll throw in a fourth that's just for you, John. The three are Deshaun Watson, Trevor Lawrence, and Trey Lance. And the fourth is Justin Fields. And this comes down to, it's situational for Watson. Obviously, once he's actually allowed to play, because we think right now that he might not be allowed to play because of what's going on with him off the field. If he's allowed to play, his value will shoot up. He'll be a top 12 quarterback, but you can draft him now in round 10 or 11 and just kind of sit on him and hope that he can, you know, play. You might be throwing the pick away. He might not be able to play, but you know, we have to wait and see. We know Trevor Lawrence is going to play, and the reports from Jacksonville are that he's already fitting in perfectly. And I kind of felt like he would, because he's running the same type of offense there that he ran in Clemson. And it's the same offense that he ran in high school. So there's no learning curve for him. He's somebody that you can draft late and has a really good upside. And Trey Lance is also somebody else. Not my dog, by the way. Trey Lance is somebody else who could end up being unbelievable, but he's got to get the starting job. And the same thing with Justin Fields. I know it looks like Justin Fields won't start week one. It doesn't mean that he won't start week two. But Justin Fields has a chance to be a very special quarterback, both for the Bears and in fantasy football. Those are quarterbacks that I'm going to look for with late picks. And I'm going to draft them with the intention of being patient and quiet and cool with them. And hopefully by October, they're making plays for my team. And if I need a quarterback, I'll start them. And if I don't need a quarterback, then I can trade them if they're hot. And if they stink, then I cut them and I lose a 10th round pick. It's not the end of the world.
Dave Richard, you're on Sports Talk Chicago. Dave, you mentioned Justin Fields. What was your reaction when the Bears initially drafted him?
I was excited for Bears fans. Like, and I thought it was actually the move that Ryan Pace had to make, not just to preserve his job, but to give the organization some life at quarterback. And my guess is that everyone knew that the Bears would overpay to move up in the draft, and that everybody knew that the Bears were desperate for a quarterback. And I can't believe that it wasn't a team in front of the Giants that took advantage of it, but the Giants were the team that did. And I thought it was what Ryan Pace had to do. Now, it just so happens that Fields was my second favorite quarterback in the draft class. I really loved what I saw from him at Ohio State. There were some bad games that he struggled in. I think that Justin tends to kind of feel after effects once he gets blitzed a lot. And I think that's something that can be worked on, and a quarterback can, you know, improve his short-term memory, so to speak, so that he's not, you know, playing in even like a small semblance of fear. But he moves really well. He's a great fit for this offense. He's a great fit for almost any offense because he's got a strong arm and he seems smart. And yeah, there were some times where it seemed like he was only reading half the field, but you've got to remember, if you're making one read, you're only reading one receiver and that receiver's open. That's the only read you have to make. So I think that Justin Fields has a chance to be really, really helpful and good for the Bears. And any quarterback that can run as much as I think Justin Fields is going to run, it's going to be good for fantasy as well. So I thought it was a good move for Chicago.
You like the strategy to not start him week one?
No, I think it's dumb to commit to that now. The only thing I can think of is that when the Bears signed Dalton, they promised him he would be the week one starter.
Okay.
That's the only thing I can think of, because otherwise, why wouldn't you have a quarterback competition in training camp? Because it sounds other, if it's not that, if that promise wasn't made, and Matt Nagy can't say that we promised him that, but if that promise wasn't made and they're still guaranteeing that Andy Dalton's going to be the starter week one, that means something's not right with Justin Fields and he's not doing what the Bears thought that he could do, which would concern me as a football observer and should scare Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace as the guys that made the move to trade up to get Justin Fields. But you know, I read the Trib and the Sun-Times and the Daily Herald, and everybody says that Justin Fields looks fine. And I'll talk to my buddies in Chicago, and they'll tell me that Justin Fields looks fine. So my guess, John, is that they promised Dalton when they signed him that he would be the week one starter. And my guess is that by the time the Bears are 0-3, it's going to be Justin Fields' time to come in. And then you're going to see this offense really look a lot different. Look, I think it's got a chance to be really, really outstanding with Justin Fields. And that's a slight, Andy. Dalton's a serviceable quarterback. He's been that way in the NFL for a long time. But he can't do some of the things that Justin Fields can. He won't run like Justin Fields. I don't think his arm is as strong as Justin Fields' arm. And I would be willing to bet that if they had some sort of quarterback challenge competition, Justin Fields would be more accurate than Andy Dalton. So it's a matter of time. Everybody knows it. Andy Dalton knows it too. But I if it were me, I would say that, you know, the best man is going to be the starting quarterback in week one. And that's how it should be. The fact that it's not seems a little weird.
How do you feel about that? I mean, wouldn't it make sense just to put in Fields if he shows in training camp he's better? Why would you commit and tell Andy Dalton, or supposedly tell Andy Dalton, you're going to start week one no matter what? I don't understand that.
John, if they had told him that in March before the draft, I would totally understand that. Because maybe Andy Dalton was weighing a similar offer from another team, and he was looking for a commitment to be the starter, and one team said, no, we can't commit to that. All the Bears had to say is, yeah, we'll commit to that. And Andy signed. And remember, there was once a point where the Bears didn't have Andy Dalton or Justin Fields at quarterback this offseason. So they were probably desperate to get Andy Dalton when he was on the table. So they said they might have promised him that. And, you know, it's good that they live up to their promises. You don't want to be a jerk and make promises that you can't keep. And that's just good life advice, not just, you know, NFL coach advice. But they got to follow through with it if they really promised it. But we'll see what happens. But at the same time, dude, if it's totally clear that Justin Fields is the better quarterback, Andy Dalton will probably know it. He's going to get paid the same either way. Maybe they just go to him and say, look, we got to do what's best for the team. We know what we promised you. But come on. Don't you want to win? Don't you want to be a part of, you know, a team that wins this year? We think we've got a chance to really win with this special young quarterback. Matt Nagy can always talk his way back from it if Justin Fields plays like, you know, a superstar and Andy Dalton plays like Andy Dalton.
Do you trust Matt Nagy in general in handling this situation based on his track record?
You know, that's probably a question that's better suited for the beat writers in Chicago than it is for a fantasy writer in Florida. But just listen, has Matt Nagy made some terrible decisions? Yeah, he's made some decisions that haven't been great. And, you know, maybe they stuck with Mitchell Trubisky a little bit too long, and maybe getting Nick Foles and trading for him like they did was probably not the right thing to do. I don't know how much of that is on Nagy versus Ryan Pace. I feel much better criticizing Pace than I do Nagy. Nagy's just doing the best that he can, but I also think he's good at motivating the players. I think the players buy into what he's doing. I think he knows what to look for in players that fit his offense. So I'm going to credit him for that. He seems like a good person and a good coach overall. There were some times last year where the offense looked like a total mess. But some of that could have been pinned on the quarterbacks that Chicago had. And this is also a team that beat the Super Bowl champions the eventual Super Bowl champions last year. You can't do that with bad coaching. So I think Nagy deserves, you know, he deserves this year. And if Justin Fields plays well, he deserves another year on top of it. I'm not ready to say that I don't trust Matt Nagy to make important decisions with the Bears.
What's your expectation for the Bears this year overall?
I don't think they're gonna be very good overall. The longer they stay with Dalton, the more likely that's going to be the case. I've already told you that they're going to start 0-3 if Dalton's the quarterback. But if Justin Fields is real deal and Khalil Mack comes to play, they need to find more pass rush help next to Khalil Mack. And I know that they think they've got something with Robert Quinn and the other players that they've added. But the two things that stick in my craw when it comes to this defense is, number one, the pass rush should be amazing. because they have Khalil Mack. And on paper, it's just kind of solid. It's not great. They've had better pass rushes in the past. I wish they had more up front. And they've got good defensive linemen. And I wish that there was more there. I hated that they cut Kyle Fuller. And I really wish Fuller was still on the team, because then the secondary would be that much stronger. So I've got questions about the secondary. I've got questions about the pass rush. We know that it's a first-year defensive coordinator. The defense worries me. The offense will hinge on Fields. There's really no other way about it. If Justin Fields is great and he adapts and acclimates right away, then this offense is going to be a lot of fun. They're going to put up points and they're going to be in a lot of games. But if he's not quite ready, or if it's Andy Dalton under center, this team's going to lose a lot of games, and there should be some heartbreakers in there. And if they lose too many games, then you know what that means for Ryan Pace and probably for Matt Nagy too at this point.
Is a playoff appearance out of the question? Could you see that happening, or a path in which that could happen?
What division is Aaron Rodgers playing in this year, John?
Let's start
right there. If he's in the NFC North, I don't think a playoff appearance is going to happen, because not only do I think the Packers will compete for the NFC North crown, go look and take a detailed look at what the Vikings did to their defense this offseason, because their defense was ugly last year. They had guys opt out because of COVID and other guys got hurt, and they did not have a pass rush, and they paid for it dearly. And now they've got themselves a defensive front that I think is going to be pretty good. And their secondary looks very good. And Mike Zimmer is a genius. So I'm a big fan of what the Vikings could look like this year. And honestly, it wouldn't surprise me if the Vikings won the division. I think that they're going to be the top team in the North. And if the Packers are going to compete with them for that crown, well, that means the Bears are going to be no better than third place. And they should be no worse than third place, because the Lions look like an absolute mess. They've got no pass rush. When you look at them, they've got some brothers, I think. The Okara brothers, I think, are both there, maybe, if I'm not mistaken. But I don't see that defense being very good at all. Those will be games that the Bears can win. And then you're looking at the rest of the division, I just think that there are too many other teams that can contend for wildcard spots. One of them clearly going to be in the NFC North if Rodgers is there. So I don't think the playoffs are going to be a realistic possibility for Chicago, unless Justin Fields is the man. And if he's the man, then you will see the Bears at least, flirt with a playoff spot, kind of like they did last year.
More to come with Dave Brincher in just a moment. Stay tuned. This is Sports Talk Chicago. Hey, Brincher. Here on Sports Talk Chicago. Dave, two more questions before we finish out. First off, what's been your greatest year or greatest team when playing fantasy football?
Yeah, I've been playing fantasy football for a long time, John. I couldn't even begin to tell you what the greatest team I've had was, although last year I had a team with Dalvin Cook, Nick Chubb. Who else was I? I had a bunch of, I think Aaron Jones is on that team, and I didn't even win the championship. But my favorite year was 2001, because that's the first year I won a fantasy championship. It was before I was a fantasy football writer. I had been playing fantasy football since the late 90s, and I was the mule of the league. Like, everybody knew I sucked at fantasy football. And so I finished in last place, or second to last place. I didn't make the playoffs. And so it was like the spring of 2001. I said, okay, I'm going to focus on fantasy football year round. I'm going to study depth charts and pay attention to all the moves and, pay attention to the NFL year round, which nobody did in 2001, except for the draft. No one really, free agency was important, but it wasn't like it is now, where like there's shows every day about the NFL. So I did that, and sure enough, in 2001, I won my first fantasy football league. I went from worst to first, and I credit that as my secret to helping me win at fantasy football. It's just paying attention to football year-round. Now I'm obviously researching it and writing about it year-round, and it pays off. I've pretty much won at least one league every year since then.
Wow.
In some years, it's two, three, four leagues. It's, nature of the beast, obviously, when I pay this much attention to football. But that's the secret. That's the key. You can't just walk into your draft thinking you know. It's like when you took the SAT, John, did you just walk into the school without doing any preparation and say, I got this, and you just start filling in bubbles on the Scantron? Or did you actually study? I know this answer because I know where you went to college. you studied, you put in time, you prepared. You've got to do the same thing before your fantasy football drafts as you did for the SAT.
And Dave, before we finish up today, last question. Is it true that when you win a championship, when you make a championship, you always split the prize money, and why?
It is not always true, but okay. So this is when I'm going to turn into kind of like a weirdo for you, John. if I haven't been weird already, I believe in karma. I think karma is a real thing. So when I make a championship game in fantasy, I always offer to split the prize money with the other team that I'm playing. Always. And the reason why is because anything can happen in fantasy football. And yeah, playing for the championship, that means something. To win your league, to be the champ, that feels good. But to have money somewhere in between first and second place money, that feels pretty good too. And so I'll always offer. And most times the offer is accepted. Sometimes it's not. And when the offer isn't accepted, I feel like karma's on my side even more. And I can just say, well, the guy I'm playing thinks he's going to beat me, and I'm trying to be nice and split the money with him. You know, karma's going to reward me, and I'll be the fantasy champion. And it works out that way. I can't remember any time where it hasn't worked out that way. But usually, like I said, people agree to a chop, and that's fine. There are some people that are very much against. No, you can't chop the first place money. You're not allowed to split it. Well, you are, and you should if you want to. And you know, we're not talking about life changing money. You know, most people play in a league where it's $20, $50. You might be able to take your wife out to a really nice dinner. What am I talking about? Why would I ever spend money that I win on fantasy football taking my wife out to dinner? You can take your buddies out for some beers and some wings with that money. That's the type of money that we're talking about. So, I think karma's on my side when I do that, and I like doing it. It's the friendly thing to do. It's not war. It's fantasy football.
Well, Dave, thank you so much for joining me. Always a pleasure to have you on the program. And, of course, best wishes as the NFL season ramps up, and you'll be covering everything for CBS Sports. Really appreciate the time.
Great to talk to you, John. Enjoy what's going on in Chicago. There's some fun baseball happening this time of year.
Great talk there with Dave Richard, and that'll do it for us today here on Sports Talk Chicago. Big thank you to Dave Richard himself, Matt Tubio, WCKG, Jim DeTalbin, Tomorrow Entertainment for making this show a success. Remember, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at John Z Sports and on Facebook at John Zaglua. And if you want to listen to this show at any time in podcast form, search up Sports Talk Chicago on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, and SportsTalkChicago.com. Another great show comes your way tomorrow. Thank you so much for listening. Till then, stay safe, and so long, everyone.
No! No! Where are the turtles?